I am Plato on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. He is described as the Philippine genius. He is the broadcaster Mo Twister. He's been a longtime fixture in entertainment in the Philippines as a broadcaster on radio and a personality on television. He is the host of Good Times with Mo, a daily morning radio program on the Philippine radio station Magic 89.9 FM. And he's also the host of Good Times with Mo, the podcast, one of the most popular podcasts in the Philippines and beyond. It's had over 20 million downloads, it's interactive in at least 35 countries, and it's a great view onto the Philippines and the people listening in who call in to seek advice on a myriad of subjects. It's described as the biggest, most outrageous show in Philippine history, as its host, guests, and callers let it all out when discussing relationships, love, and sex, frankly, and most of all, entertainingly. It began in January 2011 and unfortunately was off the air for most of 2012, starting up again recently. NMFnetwork.tv is the website where you can download and stream Good Times with Mo, as well as other programs. You can watch live there as well. Mo joins me now, and we'll talk about the show, his career in broadcasting, and more. He's a very fine broadcaster. If I had to make a list, he'd be damn near the top. He's engaging, witty, smart, and very entertaining. Follow him on Twitter. DJ Mo Twister is his handle. I am very pleased to welcome to the Plato on the Line program in Los Angeles, Mo Twister. Mr. Twister, good morning.
Hi. Thanks, sir. Thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here, and Yeah, for all the praise that you've just put there on the intro, you do a better job at introing people than I do.
That's good stuff. That's very kind of you. I'm a big fan, as I said, of your work.
Thank you.
So the podcast that airs in the Philippines at night, is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, I do it out of the U.S., though. I do it out of Los Angeles at 5 a.m., so it airs, live out of L.A. at 5 a.m. into Manila at 9 p.m. And then I guess when the daylight savings comes in, it comes in at 6 a.m. But, yeah, that's it. And we do a dual studio, a studio in Los Angeles and then a studio in Makati, which is in the Philippines. And, we take all the calls there and all that stuff. So basically the only part that really happens on the Los Angeles side is me. And, decisions obviously as well come from the Los Angeles side. But a lot of the technical stuff and the bigger part of the techno stuff comes out of Makati.
So if we want to call in or Skype in, or being in Vancouver, you're in Los Angeles, so that's 5 a.m. for us, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And that's why when I get calls via Skype or phone from the West Coast of North America, it always is kind of like a, it always makes me kind of smile because I'm like, there's a lot more effort put into the audience that pulls that one off. I appreciate all calls and whatnot. I appreciate it a little bit more when it comes from the West Coast because we take calls from Europe, which is then, lunchtime or whatever, depending on what part of Europe you're in. Philippines, obviously, in the evening. So it's a lot easier to be awake and actually do that and listen. But at 5 a.m., when you get the West Coast people, it always is kind of something special.
So you also do the morning show from Los Angeles. When do you sleep?
That's right. I take naps, after the podcast, I'll take a little nap, and then in the evening, because I used to do the morning show from New York, so we would finish at 9 p.m., so it's kind of like bedtime already, shortly after, watch a little bit of basketball, not on television, but with the Los Angeles setup now, I mean, the radio show ends at 5 p.m., so from 5 p.m. till 5 a.m., I mean, that's 12 hours, I sleep then, eat, still watch a little bit of television, interact with the family and stuff like that. So it's not as bad as it sounds sometimes. It was a little bit more difficult in Manila because when I was in Manila, the podcast is at 9, ends at 11:30, and then I have to write my radio show, which starts at 6 a.m. So from 9:30 to 6 a.m. is a lot of writing. It just seems to work out a little bit differently when you're in the U.S., a little bit more tolerable on the schedule, actually.
Yeah. Now, I don't really want to talk about the unpleasantness that happened in your life in the last year or two. But
no worries. Yeah. Anything, it's fine.
But I guess we should, because it's part of the story. It's your bio, and your show is good because it's successful because it's you. People can Google Mo Twister and they can find out what happened. But I guess the only question that I have about everything that's happened, and I think it's the best way to get into it, is are you in a better place now than you were, say, a year or so ago?
I guess so. It depends. I mean, there are certain parts of my life that are very difficult still, considering what happened It's something question I think I would get a lot. I mean, I don't do a lot of interviews right now. I usually don't accept many. So, but I know that if I do, that's the question I'd get number one off. So I'm trying to give you a good answer. Am I in a better place? Yes. I mean, to an extent, I am enjoying being away from it physically, say the Philippines, because I know if I was there, it would be a ton of questions about what happened and, you know, what indeed did happen was is not allowed in our country. It's illegal. So there would be probably an investigation. I hope there would have been an investigation because it's a shame what happened and stuff like that. But I guess personally, am I in a better place? I guess so. I mean, yeah, I'm not over it because I don't think you ever get over something like that. But I also have my dad who's sick here, and that's why I moved to Los Angeles. So it's nice to be around family. That's the plus. Unfortunately, my dad is very sick, so that kind of sucks. About the issue per se, I guess I'm in a better place because then, you know, it's a little bit less stress and a little less reminder. You know, when you drive by places that remind you of what happened, it's kind of rather difficult. But I should be tough about it at the same time. I mean, I could have stayed. So. Yeah. It's hard to say whether I'm in a better place. I mean, I guess so. Yeah, I'll consider all things equal. Yeah.
Will you ever go back to the Philippines?
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. I definitely will. I'm sure I'm going to go back within the year because of I only planned staying away for 1 year. I only planned being away to move to New York for 2012 and then go home eventually. But because my dad, I just found out my dad had cancer, so I decided to put a halt to going back to the Philippines and moving to Los Angeles in the meantime and try to help out.
Yeah. What do you know now that you didn't know then?
Nothing specifically. Sorry, I hope that's not a boring answer, but I'm 35, so nothing really surprises me anymore. I mean, I'm not an old man, but things don't just come out and shock me anymore. So I don't think I can put a finger on what I've learned specifically. Probably more what I appreciate in terms of how people have responded to what happened, whether it be forgiving me, whether it be supporting, whether it be understanding it and all that stuff. I've learned to appreciate all the support that a quote-unquote stranger of who I've never met, a listener, has given me. It's actually rather flattering and very nice because I thought it was a career killer, you know. Mm-hmm. When it happened, I thought, oh, man, it's over. I mean, you know, this is it. I mean, this is the one thing you don't do. I mean, we all have different morals and stuff like that, but my morals are you don't do this. And if we find out about it, if somebody finds out about it, we're screwed. And as much as I tried to stop it, I was unsuccessful. And I thought we were screwed. But, you know, I guess, thankfully, the podcast is doing very well. The radio show still does extremely well. And on the other side, you know, the ex-girlfriend is doing very well. So I'm wrong that it's not, in fact, a career killer for us.
Now, you were born in New York, is that correct?
Yes, sir. I was born in New York, but I didn't live there. I lived there maybe, you know, 2-3 years as a child, so it doesn't really make me a New Yorker, but I finally had the chance to do this in 2012 and live in New York, and I had a beautiful apartment in a beautiful city, and I enjoyed it.
Where did you grow up? Was it in Los Angeles?
I grew up a little bit in Los Angeles as a child, and then I grew up in Bulacan, which is a province just north of Manila, and I grew up there, went to school there, high school, college. I lived there, and then I spent nearly all of my adult life I spent it in the Philippines.
Yeah, and so is that home for you? Do you feel that that's where home is, the Philippines?
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, but at the same time, home is kind of where I am right now. I call New York home, I call Los Angeles home, I call Philippines home. When I say it in a story, or if I, you know, like if you ask me a question, I say, yeah, I'll go home one day, it's always going to be Philippines. But it's not that, there's not that kind of romantic connection that a lot of people seem to have with the motherland. I mean, I have it, but it's not as strong, I guess, as some other people. Maybe because it's still so fresh, like it's just there, you know. I'm homesick at times, but I don't, I'm not going to run home and go home and run for Senate or anything like that, you know.
Yeah. Now, growing up, did you always want to go into broadcasting or show business?
No, funny, I just said what, you know, funny because I just said what I wanted to be. I always wanted to be a senator.
Really, yeah.
I wanted to be in politics. It's something that I kind of as a child was always intrigued by, especially like socialism and then, you know, the difference between capitalism and all of the, like, I would like write letters to U.S. President Ronald Reagan about Cold War, but, you know, in a child's perspective, not, right. not an adult. So that was always kind of cool. And then when I got into television and I hosted my first political talk show, which was one of the first TV shows I had, I was really turned off by it. I was like, oh, gosh, this is, it's a horrible line of work to be in because of your peers and stuff like that. And I could try to say, I should do the noble thing and be the different one. But there's so many of them. It's overwhelming how bad it can get, how corrupt it is. And it's really sad. Gosh, if you ever, I don't know if you have any background in politics or Philippine politics, or if you know anybody, a cousin, an uncle or something who's a congressman, but when you get there and you kind of actually see them and rub elbows with them to an extent, that whether it be as a journalist or whatever, but it is horrible, man. It's very sad if you love your country. It's extremely sad.
Now, in terms of broadcasting, because as I said in the introduction, you're a pretty good broadcaster. Were there people that you admired, that you emulated, perhaps?
Yeah, totally. I think everybody has that in any kind of field. I was just talking to probably my favorite DJ of all time. I was just having a conversation with him yesterday, and his name's Adam Carolla.
Oh, yeah.
And I was talking to Adam yesterday, and, you know, we were talking about Filipino sensitivity and all of these other kind of interesting things about the Philippines, and he said that he wanted to be on my radio show, so we're trying to schedule that to happen. I mean, he's not a popular name in the Philippines, or he is, because I think he got in trouble last year for saying something about Pacquiao or something mm-hmm. like that, but I enjoyed him very much. And then, you know, as a kid, when you listen to pop music, you know, like Rick Dees or something like that, it was always kind of cool. But, you know, the pop side of me enjoys good pop, you know, morning show, like a Kevin and Bean in Los Angeles, Ryan Seacrest, too, even to an extent. But Adam Carolla is probably my favorite radio DJ growing up. And my podcast is so much like his old show, Loveline, which he used to air with Dr. Drew Pinsky. It's actually kind of an inspiration I used to put up the podcast that I have now.
Yeah. Now, you're a very fine broadcaster, but there are people out there that don't like you. Probably even hate you because they think you're a potty mouth or that you talk trash.
Yeah.
Did you think about that? Or do you think about the misconceptions that people might have about you? Does that worry you?
I thought about it. It doesn't worry me because I know we are very sensitive. Like, so I know any time you have an aggressive broadcaster or even an aggressive personality, it's going to rub people the wrong way in every culture, but ours especially because we are rather sensitive. I just hoped like people would kind of go past the potty mouth or the aggressive style and actually listen to the substance. If you listen to the substance, I think you'll find that a lot of it either makes sense or is a good idea, and then hopefully you know they'll be transformed or they'll come around to say, okay, yeah, you know, he actually does make a little bit of sense, and he's just trying to be funny. You know, in the end, it really is just trying to be funny, because I don't want to sit there and bore people with your views about something or whatever topic is being discussed at the time. And if you kind of bring it a little aggressive or you bring it a little comic, insult comic, almost an insult comic style, maybe even a hint of gallows humor, then you'll see that people will be turned off, but a lot of people will kind of see past it and enjoy it.
The other thing that my sense of who you are and what the show is that you're not just trying to be funny, but you also want to save people. I mean, in terms of the advice that you give on relationships and sex, you help people. Is that your goal as well?
Yeah. I don't have... This is the only interaction I'm going to have with them. I used to be a 911 operator, you know, for
really?
3 years. In Los Angeles, when I was going to school here. And it's helping people, you know. It's helping people under extreme duress. You know, they call the police station, and it's life and death. You know, and it's never hi, how are you, have a good day. It was always kind of at the moment, and there was an element of advice giving when you do the job, but it is to help people first and foremost. And it was good experience for me with this podcast, because you know, it kind of feels the same way. People will call. I have no interaction with you except what I have right now, and it's going to last 5 minutes, and this is it. After this, we'll likely never meet. I don't know what you're going to do with your life afterwards, whether you'll be successful or whether your problem will persist or whatever, but in this 5 minutes, I'm going to let you know how I can help you be happy, be safe, be, you know, you said save. Save is a strong word, but I get what you mean. I appreciate that you use that word, but it makes me feel too powerful. But at least help them just improve. That whatever after that phone call, after that 5 minutes, are you in a better place as a person who asked for my help? I hope so. So yeah, it's important to me. But there's always that challenge of making it funny. How can I also make it funny though? And that's when I'm like, okay, I'll curse at you, I'll make fun of your situation. And after all that making fun and cursing and, like, screaming, I will still help you, though. It just, you know, pardon the language. It's for people to enjoy it. But in the end, I'm going to say, hey, listen, if your husband's cheating on you, F that guy, get the hell out of there, you know, do something better. This is one life you got, try to make it, you know. Try to make the best out of it. Don't put yourself in a situation like this. You know, that's probably going to be the message in the end. But in the meantime, it's all the gooey details and stuff like that kind of got them the problem, you know, whatever the problem was in the first place.
And you can win a prize, too, right?
Yeah, you know, that's just a nice little thing. I've always believed in giving prizes and stuff like that on shows, because they give the effort of downloading it. They give the effort of tuning into you. They give the effort of calling in. And while entertainment... My entertainment going to them is free. You know, we don't charge for radio. We don't charge for podcasts, obviously. We should also kind of repay you, though, for the loyalty, for the you know, for the decision of making us the choice of their entertainment, of whatever they need.
Now, as I told you off tape, I was born in Canada. I grew up here in Vancouver. But my parents are Filipino, so that's invariably a part of who I am in the effort of trying to understand it as best as I can. Your show's been wonderful in that regard, showing me, I guess, the people, what they're thinking about the culture, what they want to know. Do you see the show as representing, say, the young people of the Philippines, maybe the future, perhaps?
Well, hopefully, and hopefully one of the shows that does that. I don't put any kind of added pressure on me, though, to make sure to be a good representation of the society, because I know that people are so different. Like, I know that there's a responsibility to be, you know, to kind of put people on the right path, you know, make sure not to say, oh, go out and commit crimes. You know, I don't want to go out there and be a bad influence. But at the same time, if people use the show to say, oh, okay, I'm going to be more confident about myself, or I'm going to make better decisions, or, oh, my God, Mo, I look up to Mo, and he's really against cheating on your wife, or your boyfriend, or your husband, and he's going to be really mad at me if he finds out. You know, if I can have that kind of positive effect on people, regardless of the presentation, with, you know, like with cursing and all that stuff, then I'm really, really happy about that. You know, the media is kind of, it's very odd, you know, sometimes. It's like, for example, what's popular in Philippine cinema right now? Every movie that deals with cheating on your spouse. And I'm sorry to bring up the cheating thing, it's just because it's so trendy right now. All the major movies in the Philippines right now, all the successful ones, are all the same films. It's all guy meets girl, cheats on his wife. I mean, every freaking 100 million peso movie out right now is that film. And I'm terrified. I'm like, wait, well, why are we so interested in this? Like, why are we so interested in this setup, in this film, in this, you know, in this genre of cheating movies? Like, what the hell is wrong with us? You know, it always kind of makes me wonder. And I can help use my show as a venue to say, listen, people, stop praising this crap. I mean, Jesus, like, they're jumping on the trend, the movie companies, you know, these networks.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get it out of our minds, because it's a family killer, you know. And when you have a country that doesn't have divorce, which we don't, and then we're going to be, like, going to every single movie that that's about cheating, it makes us, it puts us in a more difficult place as a country. Now, if we had divorce, then I probably wouldn't feel so strongly about these movies. But, I do try to use my show to help shape the thoughts, maybe, of a younger generation. But I don't want to be the only one. You know, I think we should have a bunch of us and stuff like that, that people can choose whose point of view they feel is more correct.
Better
guide.
Yeah. Are you the only show that does this sort of talk currently in the Philippines?
No. There are plenty. It's actually, I think, trendy. This advice giving thing is very trendy these days. If you're home, you'd hear like different demographics of station, different markets do basically the same thing. You know, it all kind of started, I think, with Joe DiMango. If you've ever heard of Joe DiMango, he had this show called Love Notes in the 90s, maybe even late 80s, where, I mean, a lot more friendly of a guy, mm-hmm. where you would write a letter, it's about your love life, and he'd go out and give you advice about it. And it's a huge hit, became a movie and all of that stuff. And then sometime, I'd say, 07, I started doing it on the radio, but with a more aggressive style, with no curse words because it's the radio, but with a little bit more of aggressive style. And then the podcast, I thought about the podcast in 2010, and then we started really seeing a chunk of people do it, I'd say, in late 2011 and all of 2012. Like The Boys Night Out, they're a show, a very popular show on Magic 89.9. They do the evening. A lot of advice there as well. Papa Jack is on, I forgot what station he's on. They label it Masa Station, in labeling it because of the market. But he has his version of it. That's very, very popular in the evening. A very aggressive style as well. And his generally is mostly in Filipino, while mine is mostly in English. Maverick and Ariel, they're two TV personalities. They have one also in the evening. It's all the same now, man. It's all, I have a love problem, what we're going to do about it. Yeah. The challenge isn't to give good advice as much as it is to be really funny about it. Like, that's the true challenge. It's like, everybody kind of gets the same advice because everyone tends to have the same problems over and over. You'll hear the same problems kind of if you listen to it for a long time. It's how do you get that advice and be devastatingly funny and be killer comedy at the same time. And that's really kind of the challenge of a broadcaster in that, in that style of show.
And the guests that come on your podcast, I mean, they're huge celebrities in the Philippines, but they seem different on your podcast than they are, say, on TFC, wherever we would see them.
Right.
Do you think it's because of the cursing that changes the attitude, perhaps?
I think, because I'm also a television personality. Like, I'm a quote-unquote artista also, in a sense, no?
Mm-hmm.
So when I have to guest on these shows like The Buzz or these Showbiz Chismis, you go in there with a mindset of don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say anything because, there's a huge defensive kind of force field wall you put when you sit there. You have to say, it's like an athlete. You know, when you're an athlete and you, at the post game, the reporter's like, so, why'd you guys, lose today? Oh, we just have to play better defense, team basketball. It's the same answer over and over. That's the same thing that celebrities do. It's the same answer for those things. When it comes to our show, though, and when you hear that the person calling the phone is just like you, just like a normal guy, and he's got a problem, I think the celebrity starts to remind, they kind of remember that, hey, wait a minute, we're all people here. We all have unique, or if not unique, we all have problems that are the same, and problems that are, like I said, unique, and like, I'm gonna answer now as a human being, like, what I think this is. Then that's why they end up opening up about their lives. And sometimes they give a little too much that the local tabloids will pick up on it. But I think that you lessen that wall when you interact with another person, and that person tells you that they have a problem, and you can kind of relate to it as a celebrity, and all of a sudden you're just another person then. Because I think what celebrities do is when they go there, they're so, if not scared, they're so defensive, that they feel like the whole world revolves around them because all these cameras are pointed at you, all these faces are pointed at you. There's questions plastered on the wall that the host is reading off, and you can read it too, and you're like, oh my God, he's going to ask me about that. You all of a sudden have this kind of weird feeling that the world revolves around you when you're on television in those moments. And when you're on the radio show, when you're on the podcast, and you start talking to other people, and they have worse problems than you as a celebrity, all of a sudden you're not the big time. You're not super important. And then you can start opening up about yourself. And it's actually a nice thing.
Has the success of the podcast internationally, has that surprised you?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my God, Joe, if you only know, man. It is such a great surprise. Like, I live here in Los Angeles. I lived in New York weeks ago. I travel extensively. I'm always out of the town. And as much as people come up to me and go, oh, my God, what happened? Are you okay? You know, and say that stuff.
Yeah.
Or ask for a picture or stuff like that. It's always the podcast that comes out first. And it's always, like, wow for me because the podcasting is not a huge medium compared to television, compared to radio, that you'd think that that wouldn't happen. But, man, everywhere I go, people will hand, like, I'm in London for the Olympics, and, I mean, it's daily. People will come up to me and go, hey, look at my iPhone. Dude, it's my podcast. Your podcast is on this phone, man. This is what I'm listening to right now. And I'm like, yeah, that episode is, like, 8 months ago. Yeah, but it's awesome. You know, and I'm like, wow, like, my mind is blown. Like, I can't even begin to explain to you, Joe, or to the guy on the street how much it means to me that such a small project, a low-budget project, can be so embraced in other countries. Like, I've had Singaporean guys come up to me, like, full Chinese Singaporean guys, and they're like, they don't know it's me, but somebody tells them that's me. Like, oh, hey, that's Mo, you know, the guy from that show you listen to. He's like, no way, really? And he comes up to me, and I'm like, listen, I don't know anything about Philippine show business, but I know your show, you know, and then sometimes when the people speak Filipino, I have to ask my friends to translate it to me so I know what the story is.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate that it's in English because I can relate to it. Not all of it because, you know, a lot of our callers speak Filipino as well. But the ones that I understand, I really, really enjoy it. And this is so cool, you know. And they're Chinese guys, you know. And it's really, really something special.
Has it been a lucrative proposition for you?
Yeah, surprisingly, it has, and it's why I can decide to leave television, because television is, of course, extremely lucrative.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's unfair lucrative when you're in television, and I knew I was going to take a big financial hit, you know, leaving, but I also know that because the podcast did so well in its first season that I'd be able to survive without television and just, you know, because radio is not lucrative at all. I don't know if you know that, but back home, radio is not lucrative. It's what you do with the popularity that you amass in radio and then do other projects. That's where you get your money from. So the other project being the podcast was rather surprising how lucrative it was. And because it's low budget, meaning we use the technology of the internet, we don't have a transmitter that we have to beam to satellites and all that other stuff that, you know, magic has to do, we keep the cost down to put it together, and then it becomes a profitable endeavor.
And so, actually, I was interested to know, how did the Mo Twister name, how did that come about?
I'm a fairly messy roommate. Like, when I was a college student, you know, I guess a lot of students are, but, you know, I live rather messily, a messy apartment. So it was more just like when my roommate would come by and see the house, and he's like, oh, geez, Mo, it looks like hell in here. And then it's just kind of like a joke that a tornado went by because it was clean this morning, and now it's destroyed. So did you just kind of twister your way through, and that's how it happened. And then when the movie came out, it was like, oh my God, yeah, this is you, Mo, because, you know, you break stuff. So I don't break stuff because I'm mad or I don't have that thing about me. It's more, I'm just a little messy. I guess that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Are you generally hopeful of the future of not only your career, but generally the Philippines?
Yes and no. Like, I don't want to sound like a preachy person here, but hopeful for the Philippines, yeah, but not so much at the same time. Like, we have a really, really bad political system, Joe. It's very, very sad. And it's, I wish we were kind of like Korea or some of these other countries that I've been to and I interact with the people where if you do something wrong, you kind of distance yourself from being in a position to make huge decisions. And the corruption levels are so high. And your congressman that gets caught for dealing drugs, or your senator that gets caught for stealing money, or your senator that gets caught for, you know, even as much as cheating on his wife with 10 other girls and buying them homes and stuff like that, all of that behavior should not be tolerated in the upper echelon of government, or should at any government level. And we have so much of it going on. So it removes my hope for us, because then when congressman is done, his wife runs, so he runs it, then his kids run, and you have this dynasty of names, and I think we're going to suffer if we continue to do that. So that is really the hope killer for me. I do enjoy, though, that how when people are passionate about an issue in the Philippines, we get results, whether it be a president we no longer tolerate, there's a corruption level we no longer tolerate, we're gonna have another EDSA resolution, and people get together and they do something about it. When the cybercrime bill is being thrown out there, Filipinos online are like, no, we're not going to have this. We're going to do something about it. And it forces your senator, it forces your congressman, it forces your mayor or whatever to change laws, because the people come together regarding it. But that's kind of the hopeful thing. That's kind of the cool thing about us. But the corruption levels are, and it goes from the bottom all the way to the top, are it's so bad that it kind of ruins the... It kind of ruins my hope for the country to do very well in the future.
Well, I've really been looking forward to this because I'm such a fan. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you, and I'm sorry if I don't, I'm not profane or anything like that. I mean, I always have to tell that to people. It's like on the show that's the show. You try to be funny and stuff like that, but then when you sit down and you have a conversation with me, I'm so far from that. So I hope you weren't expecting me to scream and go, this is really kind of... I try not to sound preachy on interviews because I know it's really bad radio or bad programming to be so positive about everything. But I hope I answered your questions to a point where you're satisfied, and if whoever else is listening and stuff like that, I invite you to not just listen to the show, but if you ever see me in person, sit down and have a chat with me, and you'll see that I'm a lot more like this, a little more calm. And
indeed. Do you still collect Starbucks mugs?
I do. I collect a lot of stuff, man. I'm actually very odd about that. I collect. I'm collecting movie posters now, original movie posters, issued by, say, the movie studios and stuff like that. You'll see in your theater. As a kid, sometimes kids would steal that stuff. So I would. I'm very much into that right now. I'm amassing quite a collection of films that I've enjoyed and stuff like that. I collect Starbucks mugs of places that I've been to. I collect flags of all the countries that I've been to. I collect figurines, like airplane models of a lot of the airlines, because I love aviation. What else do I collect? I collect a bunch of really nonsense stuff, and it's alarming.
Can I send you a Vancouver one?
Absolutely, yeah, totally. I haven't been to Vancouver since I was a kid. I've been to Toronto a lot recently, and that's such a beautiful country, man. Canada's got it going on. You guys do something right over there. I've been to Toronto a lot, and I've been wanting to go to Lake Louise. I don't know where that
it's
is.
It's in Alberta.
How far it is from Vancouver. I know it's quite a ways, but I've been wanting to do that, and Vancouver's just stunning. I mean, I haven't been there since I was a kid, but what a beautiful, beautiful city in a really amazing country. So, yeah, man, a Starbucks mug from Vancouver would be completely appreciated.
Yeah, I'll mail it to you this week, and all the best with your dad, Mo.
Yeah, hey, thank you. That's very nice of you to say. And for everyone who, say, follows me on Twitter that says those things, I appreciate it. That's cool. I mean, it's tough to go through. And, it'll happen to all of us one day. But at the same time, it's I've never, and until since the abortion thing, I've never really lost a family member that was close to me. So it is really a tough task, at least like me personally and stuff. And I'm trying to get through it. You know, what more my father, who, you know, there's a physical pain there. At least me, it's just the emotional side. But, man, it's tough, so I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah. The podcast is called Good Times with Mo, the podcast. You can download that at nmfnetwork.tv. It's host Mo Twister on the line from Los Angeles. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plata.